You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
The Around the NFL Podcast. From Phoenix, Arizona to preview Super Bowl 57.
Yes, from the Arizona Super Bowl, it's Around the NFL. I am Dan Hansis here at the Phoenix Convention Center, joined by the heroes Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler. Here we are, Mark, a place where years ago you were trapped.
Yeah, spent a strange year here. I think many have heard this story. I'll recap in 30 seconds, but had a girlfriend-type individual in my life back in, like, the 2003 era, and we were driving from Colorado to L.A., and we were in a VW camper van pop top going from National Park to, making our way through the country.
Sure.
And the VW...
Youthful hobos.
The thing just completely... S's out in the middle of, like, lower Arizona,
right.
And she announced to me at that point, after about a week being stuck in the van, I'm a desert person. And I was like, no, this is a microcosm of what's not working.
How did you not roll up your sleeves and get that car back on the road?
Well, we sold it, and then we bought her a vehicle, and I worked at a Wells Fargo HR
call
center.
So many mistakes.
Yeah.
And that was our Super Bowl 57
right,
coverage. It's great to be here.
Look at us here. This is not, they don't call it Radio Row anymore. It's, Media Row.
Yeah, because radio's out. New media like us is in. We're looking across, and yeah, it is more like, you know, web shows, streaming.
There's definitely, whatnot. You know, legitimate TV. Buzz. There's a big crowd already here on a Wednesday. It's going to get more and more wild as the week progresses, and we are here to, yes, get you caught up to date with what's going on as we approach Eagles v. Chiefs on Sunday, Super Bowl 57? Roman numerals got me again.
We're going anti-Roman numeral.
We also have some great guests coming up on today's show. One of our favorite players from the team of Around the NFL, Jamal Williams, will join us in just a bit. We also have two of the best wide receivers in football. I mean, honestly, you might say these two of the five best wide receivers in football. We're going to talk to...
Oh, no, he didn't. Top five.
Jamar Chase of the Bengals, C.D. Lamb of the Cowboys, that's coming up as well. So we are here, and I feel it. I feel the juice, the electricity of the Super Bowl. This is our 10th Super Bowl as a group and at the Super Bowl site, and I have to say, when I touched down in Phoenix, I still got the juice from it. I love it.
I think we're also enjoying this set here. You know, shout out to iHeart. It's almost like symbolic. The podcast has grown, and now we're literally lifted off the ground. I think we're the highest set in the game. We asked for that in our contract.
I mean, also symbolic, I'm just going to throw this out there. I walked into my hotel room later than you guys. I arrived in the middle of the night, and it's like the size of a small factory. It's massive. So I enjoyed
it. We're losing touch with the comments.
Yeah, we totally are.
My room's quite small,
no,
actually.
No, it's not, because the first thing I did was text, do they make a mistake? Because, it's the same as ours. So.
And also, keep in mind, Greg, when you're elevated on a stage,
yeah.
When you get too close to the sun,
yeah.
When you're flying high on borrowed wings, sometimes you come crashing to the ground. So don't both of you, especially Mr. Hotel Suite Man over here, don't get too high on your own supply.
I think that's a good advice.
And that was the Super Bowl.
It's a good instructional for the two of us.
Common man rankings. We're all taking a hit, and I embrace it.
I'm actually staying in the boiler room.
It's just factual.
Of a Holiday Inn under the airport. All right, let's do some news. Let's get caught up on some stuff.
Coach, is this a must-win game?
I would tell you every game, that's the way you go into it. If you're not thinking that way, then you probably should be doing something else.
Travis, would you say this is a must-win game?
1,000%, man.
Is this a must-win game?
Yeah, I would consider it a must-win game for sure, because if you don't, you're going home without the trophy. So definitely a must-win game.
Is this a must-win game?
Well, they're all must-win games, but this is a more of a must-win game, yeah.
All the Eagles agree. Good luck.
That was Andy Reid, Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, and Jason Kelce. And, of course, the man asking the question, the greatest question in the history of Media Night, the legendary Dave Damashek. Is the Super Bowl a must-win game? I love it.
You could see some of them actually pondering the question for more than, you know, a split second.
My favorite part of it is every Media Night seen on Twitter during the night, outraged cognoscenti, being like, someone's so dumb that they asked this question. It's a must-win. Can you believe it? He's got him. I love it. That's one of my favorite things here. We're now kind of the old heads, where it's nice to see all our old friends. Last night we saw a lot of friends out, like Bill Barnwell and Mina and all the people from Ring. It's like we're now those people.
Kevin
like
our Clark friend we Bob, got dinner with.
Like our friend Bob Glauber we used to see. And we'd be
Glaubon.
Like, someday I'd like to be that old veteran.
Sat
now,
next to Mina Kimes on the airplane in.
Look at that.
I heard she talked to me about that. She said that you were very open with her in conversation.
We both had we both shared a lot about our lives.
We're going to get to that later in the show.
Sure.
But, yeah, and we're going to get dinner with Sheck tonight. How about that? Love it. Love the Super Bowl. Love Super Bowl week. Let's hit up the news, starting with Derek Carr. The latest on Derek Carr, who, of course, is no longer in the Raiders' plans, but still is a Raider, at least from now. But you have a looming deadline to get a deal done in terms of contractual obligations. So this feels like it's happening soon. And NFL Network's Ian Rappaport reports the Raiders have granted Derek Carr permission to visit the Saints. Rap Sheet added, Rap Sheet, by the way, who, oh, there he is right now in the distance. I heard somebody
He's
calling my
phone,
name.
Breaking this story right now.
Yeah. I think he pretends to be on the phone sometimes.
I think,
too.
It's, I think it too. I think it helps
human contact,
feel
yeah.
like a strong man. I heard my name being shouted, and I'm looking around because I had headset on, and then Jason Kleiman, our producer, pointed out Ian was walking out of my eye view, and I look over, and he's just giving me the middle finger. And I just wonder, like, what's that about? Like, where are we in our relationship that's the greeting?
I mean, I knew he and Greg had gone through a thorny period, but it's very antagonistic to treat you guys. You worked at, you know, old school East Coast newspapers together
right.
back in the day.
Right. That's so we're going to have to.
Back on Newspaper Row.
We're going to have to patch that up. Anyway, Rap Sheet adds that the visit is expected to happen on Wednesday, but that no deal is imminent between the two parties. Greggy, I know you are, you know, basically a Saints fan at heart. You always are very high on the Saints when the new season's coming around. But I know even
I won't
Greggy.
Be, I can promise you I won't be
say,
next season no matter what happens.
Even Greg is probably going to struggle to get excited about Derek Carr on the Saints and everything else going on with that team right
okay,
now.
Okay, so I think I can separate two things. I'm not going to be high on them because of what I expect most of the roster to look like and mostly their coaching staff. I think Derek Carr is probably their best case scenario. What else are they going to do? They don't have any draft picks. The idea that this deal isn't imminent is obviously true. Ian's reporting that there'd be a lot to work out. But with that deadline you mentioned, you know, Pro Football Talk's kind of putting out that it would be, they'd be crazy to agree to a trade and that a release is more likely than a trade. But, like, why is he getting on the plane then? Like, to me, if he's in New Orleans on Wednesday, they are – by far the most aggressive. They're the leaders in the clubhouse. He wouldn't go unless he already had the idea that, like, if this goes well, I'm becoming a Saint. So I think it's more likely than it's being put out there that this thing gets done. And if for some reason he does get released instead of a trade, then I would expect the Saints are the team that signs him.
Yeah, I think Derek Carr wants to be wanted after the way things ended and are ending with Las Vegas. I think there's that part of it and the enjoyment of being courted. The Saints are I know this never matters, but they are $60 million over the cap right now. They can make changes to fix that, and I trust Mickey Loomis when he steps away from his Pelicans duties to address the cap situation. But
didn't they stop?
Well, I don't know, but it's like, I mean, that they are the, there's no
trade deadline week. It's
maybe his Peloton duties. There's something Pella related that's keeping him from focusing on the football side of the operation. I'm looking at the Saints draft picks too. They got the 29th overall pick.
Right, they got that for Peyton, so I shouldn't have said they have no picks.
They got one pick in each of the seven rounds. And like, to my, where I'm at on this is like, why get another stopgap guy? You had Jameis there, obviously you had Dalton there. I think Carr represents an upgrade on those two guys, but wouldn't it be better to start trying to develop at this point, get a young guy in there and go that route? That to me, it feels like a neutral move to bring in Carr for a team that to me isn't that close.
I think of all the guys who actually will be available, and I kind of think Geno and Daniel Jones stay put. Carr's the best one, and I don't think their goal is winning the Super Bowl. I think their goal is winning 9 games and not getting fired in January.
Well, that's
their
a problem.
Only goal. I agree that's a problem. And I don't think they'll even reach that goal, but I think that's their goal.
I absolutely agree with that. I think it's like if you're that coaching staff, you can swing for a rookie, but you don't have a top 10 pick there. And if it's Derek Carr, probably provides the most stability. I do like their set, their wide receivers, and I think he's in an all right environment to succeed.
All right. Well, we're going to keep an eye on that whole situation. Let's talk about another quarterback.
Well, that's what we do.
Yeah, that's what we do. We go around the NFL. Let's talk about Aaron Rodgers. Now, there is a quarterback who could be a difference maker. However, you know, a lot going on with Rodgers. And I feel like every year that passes, there's a little bit more going on with Rodgers. Do you know what I mean?
I think he's just letting us know who he is now. Yeah, and he's growing and developing
like,
as a human.
Is there any way 10 years from now he's not doing some reality show where he looks like Rick Rubin, basically, and he's traveling the world and meditating 22 hours a day? I think he's heading in this direction. So the fact that he's a professional football player, and there's Joe Montana. I mean, what are we doing here? This is unbelievable. Joe Montana is 50 yards away from
people
right
should
now.
Check out this article, by the way, about Joe Montana, which is almost a little depressing. That like how I don't think he's enjoyed Tom Brady becoming the GOAT, and almost might have like a little personal thing with Tom Brady. I recommend people read it. Wright Thompson,
ESPN. Check that out. I think that, you know, not to get sidetracked here, but just like how LeBron passed Kareem last night. No one's ever just going to be the best forever. If you could take it to be the best in your era, and I think a lot of people think Montana was that dude, I would think that would be good enough. But these guys, obviously there's ego and pride involved. So
I don't know. Someday we'll be, you know, sitting out in the middle of a field while someone else does our podcast, and maybe we won't think it's so summary.
On ayahuasca or in a deep retreat?
I'd like to think we would have a generosity of spirit. I think Kareem maybe exhibits that maybe in a way.
Maybe we would. Right. Maybe we wouldn't.
Joe is not.
Or at least, yeah, Kareem is playing the game the right way publicly. He probably didn't want LeBron to pass this record. But, you know, he's a human rights ambassador and all that. Let's get back on track.
Jeez. Kareem taking a stray in a big spot.
What did I just say? No. I said, you know what? Actually, come to think of it, he's
a nice guy.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers, anyway. He was on the Pat McAfee show, as he always is. And he said before he makes any big decision about his – one thing we've glossed over a little bit here is – he hasn't outright said he's even playing next year. Like, so that's in terms of what are the possibilities, at least the way he's framing it right now, is walking away from football is an option. He said that he is going to embark on a 4-day, 4-night darkness retreat soon after Super Bowl Sunday. The 39-year-old said he has not decided if he'll play. And whether that's with the Packers or another team, there are obviously a lot of reports that he'll be traded. And all I want to know, and Mark, I know you want to know, because you have definitely a life path that could put you on a Rick Rubin look underground somewhere at some point. What does it mean to do a 4-day, 4-night isolation retreat?
You know, sitting in isolation, meditation, dealing with your thoughts. Nice. It stimulates DMT, so there can be some hallucinations in there, but it's just kind of sitting in silence, which, you know, most of us never do. You know, we rarely even turn our phone off or, you know, put the blinds down to sleep in darkness. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Let's get this maniac in the New York sports market. Let's do it. Embrace the chaos.
You know what? He obviously is an outlier among quarterbacks to suggest this type of thing, but I don't hate it. Like, I get it a little bit, and like I don't know, like maybe it's not as fun to not sling an arrow at him, but I couldn't we like use a little bit more of silence and contemplation in our life?
I was intrigued. I wanted to find out.
Dan is looking at me like,
it's a little performative, that's all.
I get that, but I actually think he's BSing. Right.
Yeah.
I think he is the type that wants people to, I think he wants to be an evangelist for it, you know, that like he wants other people to do this, to become wise in the way that
a Christ-like figure,
yeah,
if you
becoming
will.
Wise, which maybe is too much. But I was intrigued that you can have hallucinations and, as he said, DMT experiences without any drugs. I was like, okay. I mean, you've got me intrigued.
Greg did perk up.
You get the high, but there's actually no drugs involved.
I will tell you something really quickly. I lived in Boston.
Tell me more.
I lived in Boston for 2 months back in the late 90s, and I needed to make money.
I know this story as well.
I did a sleep study. It was a 10-day-long sleep study where they put you through the ringer, where you're awake at one point for 3 straight days, and your mind goes literally berserk. Like, you do see things. Your mind operates. I think we're using, like, 2% of our mind, if even that.
Right.
Okay, and when I screamed out the word drugs at the top of my lungs here, our shadowy league figure on the set just kind of, like, perked up, and I was like, okay, I should shut up about this. It makes sense that this is where he wants to make his decision, that you do want, maybe you want to do it as quickly as possible. He also said it was ridiculous to say he wouldn't retire just because Tom Brady's retiring. He'd be happy to, like, share the Hall of Fame podium with him and J.J. Watt. But he's clearly probably playing, right?
They do seem to duel back and forth to grab the headlines, Rodgers and Brady,
there's
for, like,
something
the third
there.
Straight
off. Oh, yeah,
season.
I did want to mention, they do bring him food, and you are allowed to leave. Like, if you're not vibing with it, you can just go.
Don't.
They're not, like, going to lock you in.
No.
And you don't see the people, but they bring you 3 meals a day. So
they sit through a hole. They bring you food through a hole. So.
Right, yeah. They, like, shove it in almost.
I just want to know what food.
Like, so
what
it's basically, of, you know, like, solitary confinement at the Rock.
But you can leave. I think that was crucial. I was like, what if it doesn't go well? But then, you just get out of there.
All right. Let's move on. Good luck to Aaron Rodgers on his journey. All right. In other news, let's do a little Super Bowl injury update news. Let's start with the Chiefs. Well, the Eagles are very healthy, by the way. So the Eagles are in very good shape going into the game. Kadarius Toney on the Chiefs side of things, wide receiver, said he will definitely play in the Super Bowl. He's listed as questionable after going down in the first quarter of the AFC title game. Did not return to that game, but he is practicing again, as is Juju Smith-Schuster, also listed as questionable, but he is back on the practice field. And more good news for the Chiefs as well, because Legarius Sneed also on track to play. He was cleared from the concussion protocol. These are 3 big-time players, Mark.
Yeah, I think it's the argument for the 2-week break between the title game and this, because, you know, had it been last Sunday, I'm not sure where we'd be with these guys. I just look at Kadarius Toney, because we've seen it in spurts, as the absolute X factor for Kansas City in this game. I think they, you know, because he's been in and out of the lineup and he's been used sparingly, that it's a perfect setup for Andy Reid to create 3 or 4 plays where he is the centerpiece and he's unguardable if they get him in the right place in the field.
Especially in the red zone. I mean, they survived the game they should have lost against Cincinnati, losing those receivers. We'll get to the preview. We got Mad Dog on Thursday for our preview show. I'm looking forward to that. But it does feel different for us personally, because we weren't at opening night. We're not at the team availabilities. But both these teams, there's not a lot of drama to it, which I love. It's like football. They're both great teams. Not saying they aren't good interviews, but they're not making, like, screaming headlines that everyone gets all worked up about. It's about the ball.
Yeah, I like that, Craig. Sneed said he's 110%, by the way, which is impossible.
Yeah, that's not possible. So make
sure you're asking a bunch of questions.
You shouldn't be saying
that
point.
Why are you lying
like
to us?
Right, it's not factual.
What's the truth? And Spags told NFL media it's huge getting that cornerback back on the field. In hiring news, Brian Flores. This was weird, the timing a little bit on this one, because on Monday's show we talked about the Flores was a finalist for the Arizona Cardinals job, and then almost immediately we learned that he is being hired by the Vikings to become their new defensive coordinator. What gives, Greggy?
Well, I'm going to just throw an irresponsible speculation out there. That's what I do sometimes. I don't think he probably knew he wasn't getting that job, and he probably didn't like to be used as like a token person that they're putting out there that he was a finalist when he didn't really feel like he was a finalist, so he took the job that was there.
Yeah, I think that's
who
that's
the Cardinals
apt.
Want.
Well, they could be waiting for this game. They are talking to Lou Anarumo later this week. But the fact that they're taking so long and the Colts are taking so long makes me think there's probably someone in this game, whether it's Jonathan Gannon or Shane Steichen, that, or Eric Bieniemy, who knows, that they could want.
All right, the last two San Francisco 49ers defensive
great
coordinators.
Great Flores. I mean, that's huge.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We should touch on that. The Vikings, the reason why a lot of people, including myself, didn't take them seriously is because their defense was a wreck last year.
So it reminds me of
when – he will make them better.
Right, it reminds me of when Dallas – went from a Mike Nolan-led defense that was an absolute disaster. Insert Dan Quinn, it becomes a team's strength. I think Flores is an incredible hire, and they need bodies. They need
players, yeah.
They need players, but, I mean, I think this is a coup d'etat for the Vikings.
The 49ers, coup d'etat.
Big moment.
A violent coup d'etat.
Mark breaks out coup d'etat, you know it's Super Bowl week.
Great digger, can we start doing a little ding whenever Mark says coup d'etat?
I mean, now he's not going to say
and if he
that.
Says,
no, it's not all the time.
If he says violent coup d'etat, we do a double ding. Just that's a little.
Cool, got it.
Female assassin, just a total circus. Ding. It's just an absolute circus.
Anyway, the last two DCs for the Niners turned into head coaches, and Bob Sala, and then, of course,
D'Amico Ryans,
who just got hired by the Texans. And now it's Steve Wilks who heads to that role. The former Panthers interim head coach joined San Francisco as their DC. Greg, this is a solid hire as well.
It's a great hire. And I know they like to develop their own coaches, but having a guy like Wilks come in from the outside, I do think they have a few more questions than normal. Like just when I was looking at their roster and getting ready, had an article up about what each team needs to do. They're a little thinner on the defensive line. Like they've actually got some moves. That's why I think they should just stand pat at quarterback, worry about everything else, make the rest of the team so good you're quarterback-proof.
I mean, Wilks, everywhere he goes, it's like you hear the players love playing for him, so I think that's great for them. But I do worry about a team. I mean, Wilks is a good hire, but you've had three coordinators in four seasons. At some point, your luck runs out on that front. I mean, we've seen that with New England last season.
And finally in the news, a lot of questions about the Tennessee Titans in general, but let's center at the quarterback position in this conversation. Ryan Tannehill, his future remains unknown. The Titans promoted Tim Kelly from passing game coordinator to OC on Tuesday. And in his news conference, head coach Mike Vrabel said he kept Ryan Tannehill, quote, in the loop on the hire. Vrabel went on to say that he seemed excited, Tannehill did, about what we're going to do and what we're doing with. Vrabel also added that Ryan Tannehill is in the building every day, Gravedigger. Are you starting to feel, or have you felt the whole time, that Tannehill will remain a quarterback of the Titans?
Gravedigger.
Yeah, I do. I'm not sure if I've...
I thought we were going to get him there, but he was ready. Yeah, everyone is plugged in.
His Super Bowl week.
It's Super Bowl week.
Yeah, I don't know if I felt like it all the time. I got a little excited last week when Mark started talking about trading him to the Falcons and, like, the new era of what it could be. But I have kind of thought Tannehill will be the quarterback of the Titans for at least another season. So, Tim Kelly, internal promotion. Why did it take so long? I don't know. They were interviewing. Apparently, reports out that they wanted to interview Bieniemy and Matt Nagy. I don't know if they did. It felt like they were waiting for those guys, and then they announced the move this week. So they did hire Charles London to be an assistant, like, passing game coordinator, and he was coaching with the Falcons, quarterbacks coach of the Falcons last two seasons. So maybe that
Mark,
will do something, too.
How about
I don't know.
The idea that something that you can say in this show could excite Justin Graver the way it did?
No, that forced me, because he's not in my eye line. I had to dip it back off my chair and look between Dan and Greg just to see the look on his face.
Odie, what do you say about me?
But I wasn't attempting to excite him with that, because I think that would annoy most Titans fans.
Were you attempting to titillate our producer?
Sure. I am attempting to. I cannot. He has powers that disturb me to some degree, because it's those sound drops that he can, you know, insert into the show at will at any moment. So I try to play ball with him.
Edit that out of the show.
Producer. Wait, I don't remember.
The problem is the drops. Yes, producer. You cannot tell if they're in real time or not. I think it's like slightly
off-putting.
I mean, I would say in terms of this era of being able to modulate people's voices and faces and videos, for that to be hitting our podcast and you specifically,
yeah,
it has to be troubling.
Yep, Mark. No, it isn't, because I have the rights to myself. So you need to furnish me with a bundle of cash, and then I just go sit
Justin,
in that large hotel
I adore
room.
You and think that you're wonderful at your job.
Well, I'm glad this came down in a good place.
Charade.
All right, that is what's happening in the news. All right, let's take a break, and then we will welcome on a man that I think is going to be a best friend when it's all said and done.
We've said this before, but I think this time
it's going to go better than with Kayvon, I believe.
I hope so. A little Team of ATN talk with a very special guest up next.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top of it.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
All right, we got a guest. It's a good one. It's a big one. I got to be honest with you, I'm more excited about this man joining us than anyone else. Why? Because he basically said, hey, Barry Sanders, take a hike. No, I now own the touchdown record. No,
I did not
do such
that.
A thing. He would never do such a thing with such a great player. But Jamal Williams is with us. Yes, and he is coming off a season in which he scored 17 touchdowns, setting the Lions record. The Lions, who, by the way, Jamal Williams, the team of Around the NFL, we got behind you guys and celebrated every moment along the way. So thank you for joining us.
Aww.
And I can't wait to talk to you right now. Let's
appreciate
do it.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Everybody's dressed so marvelous up here.
We've never got.
It's called casual.
Oh, no. I mean, you. First of all, what your chain says.
First way, Kazekage.
Okay.
That's my president's name.
I'm saying you're giving us compliments. You asked us where our coats were from. I think that's a sign that we're stepping up.
Y'all look great. No one's ever said that
Zara
to us
men's.
Before.
Just got to kind of go in the kids section if you want to get it my size. But yeah,
it's because one day I'm going to grow into a mold of I'm wear suits, but not yet.
Not
but I want to make sure I'm comfortable too. So, but I like that jacket. Right
yeah,
there.
This I think you can get this at Target. I think
so. You're lying. For
it's
real,
it's all available to you.
You got the accessory game though going in a way that none of us would ever be able to accomplish.
Believe me, everything you see, somebody has given to me as a gift.
Okay, well, like the Coach fanny pack, and then a number
gift.
Of little.
All these
trinkets.
Are gifts.
A
from,
lot of trinkets
from fans.
It reminds me of my kids' backpacks a little bit. A lot of anime
true.
Trinkets.
Oh, I'm a kid for sure. I will relate more to the kids than with y'all. No offense.
That's true.
That's fine. We're old.
So, Jamal, like, such a crazy season because we followed Hard Knocks very closely where you were a star on Hard Knocks. Can we get a Jamal Williams Hard Knocks clip?
Oh, please don't.
We running through your body like diarrhea. Drip, drip, AG. You hear me? Drip, drip.
Drip, drip.
I don't even remember saying that one.
And that was fun. And the Lions were a great Hard Knocks team. And then the season starts not so hot. But then you guys turn it on. And I thought it was so fitting for people that did follow the journey of the team and you mm-hmm. that after the final game of the season, Sunday Night Football, you know, when the whole idea of that game was, oh, Aaron Rodgers is going to punch his ticket to the playoffs, mm-hmm. even though the Lions were mathematically eliminated, who was it that was being interviewed after the game and giving, like, an iconic post-game interview? It was our guy, Jamal Williams. Do you mind if we play a little clip of your post-game?
Go ahead. Compliments make me feel some type of way, but go ahead.
I can't do this for him. So, there's a lot of memories, a lot of emotion happening right now, but I'm just grateful. I'm grateful to be able to play this game for my great-grandfather, and I'm glad that he's looking down on me. I know I'm making him proud.
You said this ball's for him?
Yeah, this is for him. Another thing, stop playing us, man. We the Detroit Lions. We the Detroit Lions. Stop playing with us. I don't even watch TV, but I heard everybody already picked the Packers over us. Stop.
Yeah. Yeah, let it finish. I was getting it.
Just, it was just like the transition. I'll never forget that interview because the transition from the very touching comments about your great-grandfather to everybody that doubted us, go take a dirt nap.
Yeah. It's because I had a lot on my mind at the time. That's all. And yeah. I just wanted to make sure I gave my respects to my great-grandfather. And then after that, I just thought about, you know, as what we've been through as a team.
What a journey it was.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, I don't think I've been the player of the game
the
for
game
Sunday night.
Yeah.
And so it was just like, when I seen the ball, they gave me two ball. I was like, wow. I'm like, I had a great game. And then the first thing I thought about was just make sure I gave my praise to my great-grandfather and my great-grandmother, too. They both passed away at 92. But they both together now, living in heaven. So I'm just happy to be able to give a performance for them as my last game. And then after that, just let people know to just stop playing the Lions like this.
It was like a beat dropping on, like, a big song or something. It was like, hold up, like, let's flip it right there.
It's just my mind. I just flip it real quick. That's why.
But where I do watching you on Hard Knocks, sort of anything you've done with the media, you are like a wordsmith. You have a bit of a poetry kind of thing to you. Where does it come from? I mean,
I consider myself like, have y'all seen Pootie Tang?
Yeah.
Side Eye Tang. Yeah. Gotta say the name, though, my brother. Like, I really feel like I be talking like that. Like, my words sometimes, I want to say a certain way, but my words be mixed up in different type of ways of how I say it.
I love using Pootie Tang as, like, inspiration for your life. I don't know if, like, they look back on Pootie Tang as the greatest moment in their lives, and yet I do, a comic genius right there.
I don't think they really understand how funny Pootie Tang really is, though.
I'm looking up Pootie
Tang. You ever feel bad when you score?
Whoa, Louis C.K. directed Pootie Tang?
Oh, yeah, that's what I was talking about. It was Louis C.K. Wow. I forget who the other comedian is, and then obviously Chappelle.
Yeah, they funny.
Wait,
are you the youngest out of them?
I'm by
Dan
1 year. I got him by a year.
1 year? How old are you?
I'm much older than these two.
Real?
They'll have you know that.
Nah, you just the silver man over there.
Oh, he's got yeah.
He's so smooth. When you have gray hair, on your, like in your tips.
Yeah, yeah.
Jamal was asking us before. Yeah,
he was asking if we get into fights because we've been doing the show for so long.
They've been together for so long, and I asked them, do they fight? They said like a boy band. And then I asked who.
Well, I said rock band.
Oh,
you went boy band. That's fine. But there's a difference.
B2K, you know, metal, you know, it don't matter. Metallica, whichever y'all want to be.
I wouldn't say we're quite Metallica either. We're like Soul Asylum or something. We're
kind of
like somewhere in the middle there.
That's showing our
age. I can see y'all be that one Germany band group that go, dude.
Oh, Rammstein?
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
You could definitely be on the walking thing.
I do have to German heritage.
You playing and doing the trampoline.
You quickly, I like you, though, because you go right to the meat of the issue right away, immediately asking who's the lead singer.
Yeah, who is the lead singer?
Dan Danza.
I'm the host of the show.
Aww, that's adorable. Yeah.
Listen, you know
what? It's crazy. I know y'all role. Like, y'all just look happy.
We're a team. We got to
know. Oh, hey, good job. That's great teamwork.
You got to pass the ball.
You
got to pass the ball.
Pass the ball. You lying.
I don't know.
Speaking of team, like, do you ever feel bad stealing all those touchdowns from DeAndre Swift? Because you weren't my son's favorite guy because he had DeAndre on his fantasy team. And it's like this guy, Jamal Williams, comes in and just steals.
You're the lead singer of that backfield.
Don't
let's be honest.
Bad about that?
Listen, I told my teammates and everything, finish your food because once you get to the goal line, I'm going to finish it for you. And that's it.
What was it like, you know, with the city? You know, getting so revved up as that season went along and kind of spinning forward, Jamal, like next summer, it's not going to be any about like the cute, cuddly Lions. Mm-hmm. There's going to be actual expectations.
Yeah.
Do you think you guys are built to handle that?
Oh, yeah. We've been ready for it. But it's just more of just taking your time with it and enjoying the process and just make sure you get – like growing now, like being on the Green Bay Packers, I was like rookie little guy. Didn't really have to talk. We had vets for that, get everybody ready. You ain't got to get me ready. I'm always ready. But now that I'm on the Lions, like I'm a leader now. I gotta be vocal, and I'd rather lead by action.
By being vocal.
A little bit of stuff.
I have to be. That's just the extra level of trying to be a leader. But I'd rather be the leader by example only. But if I want to grow and be that man that I know I can be and do things that I've never seen myself doing, I gotta talk and let them understand, how I'm feeling and what this means to me, because I feel like the more you find out how much, the game is from your teammates, the more that makes you want to pour in and do the best that you can and let them know that it's serious for you too.
You mentioned the Packers. Did you see this Rodgers 4-day, 4-night darkness retreat?
I don't even know what that is.
He's just going to lock himself in a room and contemplate. And he said it gives him a natural high and he might stay in there the whole time. He might leave occasionally. Would you do something like – do you need to do something like that? I feel like you're a stimulated guy with your love of anime. I feel like you wouldn't be able to go dark for 4 days.
Well, I mean, watching anime, there's people with anime do things like that all the time. So, yeah, I get it. But I wouldn't do it personally. I just watch some anime, play a video game, contemplate life right there. I'm pretty good, really.
I got to tell you one time the Combine is in Indianapolis.
I would join them, though. I would just –
you would do it.
I would experience – you got to experience things once. Well, it depends on –
well, you'd have to be separate because he just would be like, Jamal, can you shut the hell up here?
You
got to
be separate?
I'm trying to have – yeah, you can't just be in the room.
I'm the most – I promise you, I'm the most quiet person ever. Listen, all you have to do is give me a room in your house. Give me a outlet, a TV, and Wi-Fi. You wouldn't even know I'm there. Only thing you would be like is, why is there always people dropping food off in my front door? That would literally be it. So you wouldn't even hear me. Honestly.
Do you have a house or condo or whatever that's just very sparse but has a very incredible entertainment center hookup?
Oh,
I'm like
not even
picturing
yet.
It right now.
I don't
now.
Even have my own house yet. I don't. I'm still working. I'm still saving.
Another contract, another game like this, a contract's going to come that's going to
– well, yeah, speaking of –
I'm in no rush.
Put you in a cul-de-sac.
We put a lot of emotions into watching the Jamal Williams and Detroit Lions journey. Like we said, we pick a team officially. When we said you're the team of the year around the NFL podcast, we pick them officially. Lions were our team. So,
okay.
You're not gonna leave us, right? Like, you're a free agent this offseason. I'm just saying, feeling good?
You guys are too smart to
understand. He's the lead singer of
his running
back.
I'm not the only one that got the choice in this. I want to be there. That's what I'm saying. I want to be in Detroit. Leave it there. It's not my, if I go somewhere, but I want to be in Detroit.
Well, Brad Holmes is a huge Around the NFL podcast fan, so he's listening, so he'll know.
Brad knows I want to be in Detroit. All right, let him know. I want to be there. I like the energy. I like the coaches. I just like the environment and where we're heading, as a team. So I just can't wait to see next year.
Have you ever seen Dan Campbell cry?
Cry?
Yeah.
Sort of, kind of. I'm going to say emotional cry just because he cares, So I think it's more of when he start getting – I think anybody, when they start getting angry a little bit, you tear up just a little bit, Your eyes are watery.
Well, you had that speech during Hard Knocks, right? A little bit.
Yeah.
It was emotional.
Yeah. But don't, like I said, don't let them tears fool you. It's all dog in there. I'm telling you. I run people over crying. I'll do it.
Well, that's, again, why that Sunday Night Football interview, it showed the both sides of Jamal.
Yeah.
It's all there right there in that
a lot.
2-minute bite. Speaking of the team of Around the NFL, we have a theme song that we play. And we wrote it, and we had a friend of ours record it. And, I'm curious if you are into it. Like, we would like you to give a – put on your music review hat.
Did y'all rap? Y'all rap?
No, we're not it. Nah. We're not singing in it.
Y'all
no,
wrote
and
it?
Do join in.
Yeah, it is not a rap. But
do you do you like rock music at all?
Yeah, okay. I love heavy metal. If I had to choose, I'd be a heavy metal man.
All right, this is
man.
Dick Banks, the one-man house band with a team of Around the NFL theme, with Jamal Williams, star of the team of the Around the NFL, listening in, then giving his review. Hit it, Justin.
It's starting out good.
Who will be the team of ATL? the team.
Team
of ATL. Only one team can earn the right. Now's the time to shine a light on the team.
That's pretty good. I ain't gonna lie. For me, more than anything, when I listen to music, I just like the beat. So if your beat is slapping, yeah, like, I like it.
Yeah, it's got a little, I wouldn't call it Rammstein, but it's got a little bit of, it's got, yeah, a heaviness to it.
Yeah.
We've been doing this show a long time. We have never had a member of the team of ATL sing along
Progress
to the song. Yeah. I think that means we got to run it back with
Progress
next year.
I got it. Once I heard team once, I'm like, God, I'm waiting on the next team.
Do you have anything else you want to add before we say goodbye, Jamal?
Oh, I just want to. The luck there or look what there? Which one?
Right here, I think. Right here.
That one? All right. I just want to give a shout out to my friends back home in the IE, Inland Empire, baby. I just want to let y'all know, man, I miss y'all. I love y'all. Can't wait to be back home again. And then go out there and get you some goodies stuff, man. That's our stuff back home. We try to, as a goodies foundation, we giving back to our back home in the IE. So if you ever want to go and just give our donate, yeah, donate or help out. Goodeats.com.
Goodeats.
Yes, sir.
Beautiful.
Goodeats.
All right.
Jamal, thank you so much, my man.
And thank y'all. I appreciate
it. Best
y'all
of luck going forward. And we hope you're on the Lions because we want to run back Team of ATN. Maybe at the Lions.
It. Yeah.
Or maybe we just follow Jamal.
We're not doing it if Jamal's not there.
Team.
Yeah. Oh, was it?
ATL. Jamal Williams, everybody.
That's great.
There he goes, Jamal Williams. I thought that went very well. I like that man. He's a different cat, but the fact that he got into the theme of ATN, that even took off another level for me.
I mean, these player interviews can go all over the place, and he came in hot, asking us in-depth questions about our show, about the dynamics between us, who was sort of the leader of the show, if we got into fights a lot because we've been doing it for so
it's
long.
True.
I love that. He cared.
He liked our wardrobe? That's never happened. Right. No one's ever said that.
I wish I had asked him like I once fatefully asked Kayvon about friendship, because I think the answer would have been different. And I think if we were going to have a player who would pop in every once in a while, just as like a guest host, I think it'd be Jamal Woods.
I hope he's back on the Lions.
Yeah, me too. I mean, maybe we don't bring up the aren't you our friend thing and we just hand off the neediness.
Just be friends.
Yeah, just let it develop organically.
I think
Mark knows how to make people work for it.
That's true.
Want it. Beg for it.
And I know you wanted the Kayvon thing.
Begging for you, Mark.
Greg, you wanted the Kayvon thing so badly that it's almost like Mark and I paid the price.
I had it.
His guard
you guys
was up.
Blew it.
Greg's like, I'm on vacation now. Dan and Mark take bullets to the middle of the head.
All right. Let's take a break, and then we'll get some more guests in here. We got two of the best wide receivers in the league coming up next.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. He's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't me?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
All right, our next guest is one of the best players in the NFL, C.D. Lamb, star wide receiver of the Dallas Cowboys. You know it's Super Bowl week when, in a non-ironic way, or there's not even any need to explain any further, the great C.D. Lamb is sitting there, and in front of him is deodorant. Just a bar of deodorant. What Got brings it. You here, C.D. Lamb?
Old Spice, if you can't tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely Old Spice. They got a new blend on the deodorant, Swagger. 24/7 longer lasting. Keep you feeling fresh, man.
I showed up in the hotel last night, and this morning, in a daze, opened up all my bathroom items, and I literally forgot deodorant and had to go downstairs to the little hotel shop. And I bought a product that was not Old Spice, so
Mark,
I apologize.
Just ask CD if you, if you need.
I got you.
He's literally holding something.
No, I think this is the kismet. This is how this works.
You could take this one if you want.
Really?
I mean, Mark does have the least amount of swagger out of the three.
Yeah.
Not anymore. I did the suit. I did the little,
Thank
you know.
You. Okay, I'm wrong.
CD, how are you, buddy? This is obviously, as we come up on the Super Bowl, that's the goal. The Cowboys once again got close, but no cigar. Like, where's your vibe on, like, where the Dallas Cowboys are as we head toward another new season?
Unfortunately, here we are again. But I hate being close. You know, I'm sure everyone on the team does, and we owe it to all our fans. It's been quite some time since the last time we've had a Lombardi come back to Dallas. But I'm grateful to be here, grateful for all of the experience and being here in Arizona in this atmosphere. It's nothing like it.
So you had a monster season. I found it weird. Your season almost went a little under the radar, considering you're like the Dallas Cowboys' number one wide receiver. Like a big step up, I thought. Over 100 catches, 1,300 yards. I feel like all the big time wide receivers. This is just a theory. Like I'm going to ask you first. Why do you think maybe you're not getting quite as much pop as other receivers?
Because I played for the Dallas Cowboys, and the first five games, I didn't have Dak. But it was still a lot of consistency going on. So I didn't have my first 100-yard game until, like, week 10.
So my theory is you do everything well. Like, you're very physical. You run routes well. You get open. You also get – like, you're a little bit of a – you're a guy who can do everything. Maybe you need to make something your one thing as a branding. Like, what would your one thing be as a receiver?
One-on-one balls. Go balls.
Okay.
I like those.
You can't jump in the kettle because that's been taken already to some degree.
For sure. Perfect.
What is it? You mentioned Dak because, like, I don't know. Like, we cover the game, and this is our 10th Super Bowl, and it's like the obsession with the quarterback's always a thing with the Cowboys. It was with Romo before Dak, and now it's Dak. Part of you being the number one wide receiver, you always have to be answering questions about Dak. Why isn't he this? Why is he that? After a tough ending of the season, like, how does this team take that next step with Dak? I know we have a new offensive coordinator in the mix. What else does this team need to do in terms to make that step, to get to the title game, to get to the Super Bowl?
You got to surround him. Straight like that. Go look at the Eagles. They got three receivers. Great tight end group. They run the ball well. O-line is very phenomenal. You look at San Fran. They surrounded their quarterback, and you get success ultimately. I mean, granted, we got just, you know, as many weapons, but that extra player or that one, all it takes is one. You know, you could be so close in that to the Super Bowl, and it could be a deciding factor. So I feel like just keeping him comfortable in the pocket, just keeping him surrounded with, you know, whatever is for production, should I say, and you got to stay healthy.
And when you know, last offseason, I think an early narrative with the Cowboys when it comes to weapons was Amari Cooper traded for, like, a bag of spoons. And it was like, wait a minute, like, what are we doing taking this big talent? You guys all looked up to him, I'm sure, as well. But off the roster, he's not really replaced in any way. Do you guys, like, text each other and just be like, what are we doing here with this kind of move?
No, we for sure text each other just kind of because 9 times out of 10, we don't really know that it's coming, you know, until it hits the market or hits the internet. So kind of confusing. I mean, it is what it is. You never really want to question it. It's just all on stepping up and in the progress of being confused. You just want to, you got to do what you got to do.
Did you like how Mark, you know, for our listeners, because this is also an audio podcast, showed you what texting is like pantomime
fingers.
Texting well, for you, so you understand.
That's how a thespian operates. You actually show, you know, it's play.
And yeah. A showman.
Yeah, a and showman. It's an audio show, so it was of no help at all. So.
You consider yourself a showman?
Nah, pretty much, I guess. I'm performing.
I think that's what Greg might have been getting at earlier. He wants you to, I guess, stand out more. Like,
no, I think what it is I think people that really no, it's not so much that. I think I thought you got a lot better. Do you think that's accurate this year, that you took like another level up?
Most def, I took a step.
Do you think you did it? What I was saying is, I think people that watch the game see you and put you in that class with a Jamar Chase and a Justin Jefferson, that like you took that leap this year to get there. So I guess I was just trying to figure out the disconnect there.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I feel like in a situation to where you don't have your quarterback for the first five, I'm going to keep highlighting that because sure. it's crazy. You don't have your starting quarterback first five games, and then he come back, and then like it takes him about a game or two to get acclimated, you know, in the season. And now we're already, you know, in week 9, week 10. And mind you, when I was week 9, week 10, a lot of guys already had 1,000 yards, pushing 1,800, you know, and I still managed to be in the conversation. And then once I got Dak back, the offense got rolling again, and then, you know, the numbers started doing what they do. And all a part of that is just staying true to myself, staying through the grind and understanding if I have my one the whole season, who knows what the numbers look like.
I got to ask you something that's a little bit off the range of football. This podcast goes back 10 years, and Dan and I, about a decade ago, did a show about Eric Berry, the old Chiefs defender, was petrified of horses, like very, very scared of them. I don't know where it's certainly probably came.
I love horses.
I know. I read that you are just for a whole life, you've been riding horses. You grew up on a ranch.
Yeah.
Would you help someone like Eric Berry overcome that kind of fear? You can help him out.
I feel like in a situation, once you've made your mind up that's something that you're not going to get yourself into, I don't think there's no changing your mind. Like me, I would never I'm afraid of heights. Like, I'm terrified of them. And
so you don't want to be like on a super tall horse? Like,
yeah. No. I'm cool with that. Okay. I don't know why. I'm cool with those type of heights. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But I'm buildings, roller coasters, yeah, I'm cool on those. But I guess, man, take him for a spin. Like, he got to get on the back of a horse and control it.
You got to ride it. You've played with, like, so many big-name quarterbacks. It's wild. Maybe you are the key to all these guys, though. Baker Mayfield, Jalen Hurts, Kyler Murray, and Dak Prescott. How many – like, first of all, I don't know if any wide receivers played with a bunch of names like that, but if you could compare them in terms of how their passes are, like, yeah, how are their passes that. Are different? I just want to know how they're different, though, because people talk about, like, oh, he throws a good ball, or he throws this or that. Like, how are they different in terms of how they throw their
they
ball?
They judge it off of pretty much, I feel like, the throwing power, or depending on the situation. So if we're running a slant, right, and you're throwing it in between two people, I expect you to have a lot more firepower than you would if I'm running a one-on-one slant, right? So, like, the ability to put the ball in a certain area depending on the coverage, right, I feel like that's where you can judge it the most different. And that's all on decision making. That's why I say I feel like there's no way you can judge the difference on who's throwing what. You just gotta see it, you know, and then be the judgment.
So
of
you're
who.
Not gonna rank them and just
no,
bury,
I'm not ranking
Barry Baker,
no,
Mark's guy over I'm here.
Nice not, try, Greg.
You almost got me, but I'm not. Gonna.
Were you having played with Jalen? Did it not surprise you the way his game took a big step this year?
Not at all. Just because I feel like his whole story all started when he got benched by Tua, and then the following year he had ended up in Oklahoma. So just that whole process, I got him like when 2019, I didn't know who we were going to get, right? My junior year in college, I didn't know who was going to be our starting quarterback. And then once I finally got the news that he was going to be it, like maybe 2-3 days before, I had hit him a text like, yo, let me know whatever you need, like we can get right, and then you can come stay with me if need be. And then the first week of him being there, he even got there 2 days earlier, We met at Coach Riley's house, and then he ended up staying with me, and then we ended up working out immediately after. And it's, at that moment, I knew I could relate to him just how hard he worked and how much he wanted it, because he wanted it just as much as I did, you know. And we both, you know, together wanted the same thing, and the end goal was to win a national championship. Unfortunately, we were short, but that proves a lot of him, and I know what he's doing out there in Philly.
A little annoying he ended up on the Eagles.
Crazy, huh?
Yeah.
Crazy.
A little bit.
You ever notice how, like, the Cowboys, ex-Cowboys kind of dominate the broadcast booth? Like, it's a little different playing with the Cowboys. Like, it's like you got a Cowboys quarterback. You used to have a Cowboys tight end in the broadcast booth. Would you ever want to be that ex-Cowboy?
Most definitely.
Okay.
Most definitely. I add to that. I add to the list.
Last question. This is a controversial subject on our show. I say that Mike McCarthy has a real zaddy energy to him. He's a man that
wait a minute.
Yeah, what?
I don't know if that's the right.
No, he's like a zaddy. Like, he's a guy that you can look up to, and he carries himself with a lot of, it's a swagger that's like the deodorant and a little bit understated. They don't agree with me. Do you see any zaddy qualities with Mike McCarthy?
I don't know what you mean by this zaddy. I don't know what.
I'll just say this. We're nobody's underdog.
That's my man's right there. Yes, sir.
All right. So you're gonna hold a hard, firm no comment on that then.
No comment. But I'm with my man's all the way.
Same. We can agree on that. All right, CD Lamb, best of luck going forward, my man. Thanks
for joining
the show.
Appreciate you guys.
There he goes, CD Lamb, another nice guy. I think it was kind of interesting, and he's been doing, obviously, the media rounds here at Media Row. And he is pounding the drum, like, get us more pieces on offense, which is not to, like, purposely, like, dump on a guy like Michael Gallup or even Zeke Elliott at this stage of his career, but you see that there is a frustration coming through there. Like, yeah, you can get on us or get on Dak, but look at these other super teams that are just loaded all over the place, and we're not quite that, which is fair.
It's complex because, in a way, you're having to point a finger at your owner, who is also your general manager in one sense.
And also your, like, lead advertiser. But it's
tricky.
It's interesting to me, though, because I think Jerry Jones likes that. Like, yeah. CeeDee Lamb's not overly outspoken, certainly compared to some wide receivers. He was really cool. Like, a great – you get a better sense of, like, his vibe. But I think he knows he works in an organization that actually will hear what he's saying in the media, and Jerry Jones will be like, oh, how about that CD? You know, maybe he's onto something.
Do you
like,
think
– like, he actually might listen to his wide receivers, where I think some owners will not.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Do you think he knows or has an idea of what a zaddy is? That was an interesting
– CD?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he does. I think that may be where he doesn't quite know with the tone of our show.
I want this video to go out on social. Check out our, you know, our Instagram page for all the visuals of what we've been doing. But his face screwed up. Like, what are you talking about, man?
No. It was more like the way I took it is he had never even – thought about that before, and he was wrapping his head around it. I just didn't have the time to really kind of give him the full elevator pitch, but at the same time, I think I would have had him if I had another 5 minutes.
I mean, it wasn't a striking victory for your argument.
I wouldn't say that.
Well, we've been making the case, Mark and I, that there might be a little bit of projection here. Then, you know, we're closer to Mike McCarthy's age, ultimately, than we are to CeeDee Lamb. So I think to CeeDee Lamb, it might be
certainly
quite a big leap to seeing his coach that way. I think he's closer to being a grandfatherly type to CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, okay.
But Greg is coming with a lot of logic.
A grand zaddy.
Yeah, a grand zaddy. That's pretty good, too. Anyway, he also did
projection.
Say he loved that man. And I think I love him, too. All right, let's keep rolling here. From CeeDee Lamb to Ja'Marr Chase. Here he comes. Man, we got some of the best wide receivers in football on this episode. First CeeDee Lamb, and now in the AFC. The great Ja'Marr Chase, welcome to Around the NFL, good sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. How y'all doing?
I'm doing well.
Well, I got to tell you, I got to own this.
Yes.
Like, you know, the effects of Super Bowl week affect people differently. And I asked, you know, Ja'Marr, how's this week been? He's been very busy. I said, were you here at last year's Super Bowl? It's like, yes, I played in that game, and you're sitting next to a bona fide idiot. So and just turn
like it was a big moment for our podcast. Yeah. You know, it was
we
celebration. We were all about the Bengals last year.
Yeah. Well, we'll get you to a doctor immediately after today's show. Ja'Marr, what are you doing here with Carnival and Pepsi Zero Sugar?
Yeah, so I'm here on a second year. They gave me an opportunity to give rookies a free chance to win a cruise. you got to go to www.pepsizerosugar.com. Sign up there to win a free cruise for the rookies.
Well, speaking of sugar, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I imagine part of this kind of sucks, right? Like, you were so close to the Super Bowl, and instead you're sitting with these bozos, this meant they didn't even know you were in the game last year. Like, how long did it take? Are you even there yet for, like, the frustration of, you know, getting the ball twice there in a tie game, just not able to get over the hump and get back to the big game?
I'm still a little bit there. You know what I'm saying? I'm in Arizona right now, and all I'm seeing is Chiefs and Philly right now.
That's got to be annoying.
It's a little annoying. You know what I'm saying? So, but for the most part, man, it was a fun opportunity. You know what I'm saying? Had that chance. Wish we could have did more. Wish we could have had more calls. But at the end of the day, it's football. You got to – somebody's not going to be happy at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? So, it's all right.
You think the officiating decided that game?
It had a play. I had a play.
It wasn't great.
I'm sure you heard that a lot in the city, too. I don't know if you were going around Cincinnati for a couple of days, but it had to be hot.
I mean, it just was a little off sometimes. You know, it didn't always go. I mean, they didn't always get their calls either, but, you know, it happens. It's football, and I'm one of the best receivers in the league, and I can't get a call for nothing.
They keep you busy, though. Like, the NFL, you know, wheel keeps turning. You went straight from that game to Vegas for the Pro Bowl games, yeah. And I have some sound. There's a mystery kind of on social media right now of, like, what was said to you at the Pro Bowl games. I think we're going to listen to it, and maybe you can uncover this mystery for us.
Let's listen.
Keep up the good work, man.
Appreciate that.
I hate that you keep cooking us, but it's fun to watch you play, too.
Appreciate that.
Keep doing it, man.
So some player says you keep cooking us, but you couldn't tell which player it was, and we're sick of it. Who was that player? I want to know who that was.
You keep cooking us.
That was the kicker, Tucker.
Okay.
From Ravens.
Oh, the greatest kicker of all time. Yes.
That makes sense, because you have smoked the Ravens quite a few times, you personally.
You had a legendary rookie year. You absolutely abused Baltimore as a rookie. That was fun to watch.
Raven
for
killer.
A Browns fan like Mark, that must have been nice to see Jamar damaging the Ravens that
way. Well, also just to see, you know, for so long, like, Ohio football, Browns and Bengals struggled. And I really feel like you and Burrow obviously showed up, and it's like you didn't care about the past, and you just said torch whatever the people think about the Bengals for years and years. But part of that for me, I feel, is Zach Taylor, who last year was like sort of an anonymous, one of the more anonymous unknown coaches, tugs you all the way to the promised land. What is it about Zach Taylor that we don't know, that we don't understand? Because it seemed like his leadership popped up big time down the stretch this year, too.
Yeah. Man, I love Zach. I can honestly say that. You know what I'm saying? He's a caring person, and he cares about his football team. And just not just the football team, individuals, period. You know what I'm saying? Especially if a person's in need, needs help, is going through something, Zach always has his door open and wants us to come talk to him. So I appreciate Zach for doing that and, you know, uplifting everybody else who's, you know, always dug themselves in a hole.
I noticed, like, defenses came at you guys different. Like, what did you notice this year for how they were guarding you specifically, and what did you try to do?
Yeah, a lot of teams would play cover two to my side, or they would play six period. 2 and 4 on each side. And then they would probably do a little two-man, probably do a little two-tempo. They'd also just double-double or triple-double. That means all three of the receivers are getting doubled. They would really do a lot of different things, man. And sometimes they would just look at our splits and play us differently from techniques. So I can honestly say it's been a lot of coverage that I'd never seen before in this lead. And the last 3 weeks, I want to say that's why I've seen a lot of different coverages.
They're sick of you getting those goal balls over their head. Like, so what did you do about it?
We started doing a lot of stuff underneath, you know what I'm saying? T. Higgins has been doing his thing this year, man. Honestly, he's been a big help to me, not just me, but to Joe Burrow itself, you know what I'm saying? And we're going to keep going, and I can't wait till we get Tyler Boyd in this thing too.
This is speculation season now, of course, and people look at, you know, Jamar's going to need to get paid on his second contract down the line. Burrow, of course, is in line for a massive extension, maybe the biggest contract in the league. Is T. Higgins and Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow going to be able to stay together? I mean, I would imagine the move is to stay together as long as possible. We don't need to break this up right now.
I mean, yeah. I'm be on T every day. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what T's gonna do. Hopefully he stays in Cincinnati. I don't know what Joe's gonna do. I don't know how, you know, everything's gonna work. But I'm always in T's ear, making sure he's trying to stay with me. You know, at the end of the day, Joe's gonna do. I think Joe's gonna do the right thing. You know what I'm saying? Joe's not a cocky dude when it comes to money. He doesn't really care too much, and you know, that's what makes him himself.
So you're saying like he's getting good value out of those clothes because they look expensive.
We got that much money. It doesn't matter.
That's true.
I know you and Burrow, they talk about how you guys are great friends. I mean, what is in the off season, say you go over to Joe Burrow's house, or he goes, just like, what do you, what's
is it true? Evening? Sometimes these things
Are you great friends? Yeah. And if so, what does a night look like when you guys get together and do your thing?
Actually, I had to force Joe to go to Vegas with me. He's such an inside cat that he doesn't want to go outside at all. And I hate that he's like that because, you know, he's such a great person, such a great quarterback, that he doesn't really get the chance to live his life. And that's the hard part about a person that has that much status surrounding themselves. And I told him, just go to the Pro Bowl, man, enjoy it. You know what I'm saying? You probably won't play because of who you are. You know what I'm saying? You could pull stripes, man. You don't have to play. Sure. Just enjoy the moment, man. You don't really get this too many times. So, you know, I just wanted him to enjoy the moment and live it up.
Wait, did he go with you?
Hell yeah, he did. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that because he wasn't part of the Pro Bowl games or something.
But he was out there.
Okay.
Exactly.
That's a good friend. It's good friend work.
Just like it is good friend work.
Seriously. Like, he didn't do the game, but he goes out there.
It's like,
there.
Joe, I don't want to go over your house and watch Titanic again. Let's go out. No Netflix.
We're watching UFC the whole time, not that same.
Okay.
All right. Same thing. Well, not the same thing. Just cycling back for a second, you mentioned the officiating. And I know, like, Roger Goodell had his annual Super Bowl press conference today. That was a subject. Officiating in general was a subject for many fans throughout the season. As somebody that boots on the ground, plays the game, like, what do you see as something officiating can do in terms of improving? Or do you think it was more that game itself, or was it the whole season that you had issues with?
I'm just talking about the game in general. I don't really pay attention to too much of officiating stuff going on because there's so much more I got to do and think about. But for the most part, you know, it's not always going to go our way. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like it's that way because of who we are. We're the Bengals, and nobody's expecting us to win. And when they see us winning, it's kind of a shock for people. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping the refs not against them, but sometimes it could be a play a part sometimes.
When you won the AFC Championship last year, there's a famous NFL Films clip of you. We're going to play it. Have you listen to it here.
All right.
Damn, year one. Oh, my God. I'm glad I stopped crying before all those interviews, bro. I want to cry again so bad, bro.
Me too. Get it out, bro.
And I got it out.
Mark, our first year at NFL Media, they didn't let us park in the parking lot. And we got Jamar going to the Super Bowl and the toast of the town. Very different first years at the NFL.
Absolutely. I know. That clip is actually like 40 seconds, and the first 20 are just you kind of crying audibly. It's very touchy, like how much it means to you. As a man who wants to really promote other men crying, like I want that to be, okay, how do you feel like
he talks about it all the time.
Yeah, you know, being kind of a spokesman for the male crying community.
Yeah.
It's an absurd question.
Okay, you just put me on the spot, basically.
Now, what was that like? I mean, what was that moment like? Because it was cool.
I mean,
like
for the most part, man, it's an emotional moment if you love the game, I feel like. And especially if you put yourself through so much to get that way and that far, you got to live in a moment and enjoy it, accept it, take it all in, and I did that. You know what I'm saying? And at the moment of time, I was just having chills that I really couldn't believe that I did that, you know what I'm saying, and had the unremarkable year that I had because that wasn't planned. I just was trying to be myself and play football, and, you know, I got back reunited with Joe, and we took off.
Do you feel like younger players, like we talked before about the transformation of the Bengals, like that moment was, I mean, that city had not experienced anything like that in decades.
Yeah.
Was that kind of something you understood, or are you still learning what it all means to Cincinnati?
Honestly, I feel like I understand because when I first got there, man, Tyler Boyd and Joe Mix was in my ear every day about how horrible they was. Like, I mean, every day. I would hear so many different stories about people fussing in the locker room. The locker room's not this. It's a cancer. This, that. And I was just like, dang, I can't believe it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
he must have been pumped.
You know, yeah, that's, he was. You know, yeah. He was like, yeah, we ain't got that no more. The first, he would always say, we don't have that no more. We got Ja'Marr Chase. I'm like, you got Joe Burrow. That's what you have.
Yep. So. It's crazy to think now, but there was so much speculation and talk, including on our podcast, about do not go near a wide receiver in that first round after Joe Burrow blew out his knees. Like, you got to get an offensive lineman. But the right move was bringing Ja'Marr Chase into that building. And we hope you have many more great years in Cincinnati with Joe Burrow, because you guys are a lot of fun to watch.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. There he is, Ja'Marr Chase. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Ja'Marr.
No problem.
You know, guys, it was great. Ja'Marr Chase. It's kind of a weird interview. I kind of set it off the top in the conversation, but to get that close, to have the Chiefs beat, basically, it felt like, and then not to do it, and now you're doing the rounds with talking to bozos like us. You know, I give credit to Ja'Marr for, you know, keeping it real, the head held high.
I mean, I thought I'd try to help him out by suggesting that I had no remembrance of him being in last year's game, to take that.
Yeah, what
away.
Happened there?
You know what? I literally just disassociated from my entire body. Because, like, the player comes up, you're trying to make him feel comfortable. It's like,
what did he say exactly?
He just when looked at me like, you are were you literally brought to America like 4 minutes ago?
No,
like,
what did he say? He said, I was in the game.
He said, well, I was. I said, no, have you done this before? Like, the radio thing? He's like, I was in the game last year. I just, like, this is literally the stupidest thing I've ever said as an adult.
It's so. Very much like you're at a bar and a girl is right there and you're just like, oh, you come here often, and you get in trouble.
I would mess that conversation up too.
I think I mentioned it. We had dinner last night, and we were talking about it with Gravedigger was with us, and we had Kevin Clark of The Ringer, and we were talking about one of the underrated moves you can do in life is, like, when you really biff something real bad, that you just not just own it, you just, like, let the waterfall fail come over you, and just go like, guys, I got this one wrong. I blew this one.
I tried to do that.
Yeah,
I tried to do it before Greg did it to me, so that was right. Sort of my other strategy.
We hung out too long.
When you mess up so bad, you have to do the, I got that one wrong,
yeah,
guys.
I don't think
I'm really
he and I
sorry.
Are, like, I think that I'm lesser in his mind than the two of you.
I'm really, like, reading too much.
I don't think he'll ever think of any
no,
of this ever again.
No, he's not thinking of us at all.
I might be reading too much into it, but I do feel like, man, that – there's a good chance I think that's going to be a future Hall of Fame player who's already achieved at such a high level in his first 2 years in the league that, like, yes, he's disappointed he's not in that game, but he's fully expecting to be in those big games.
Both of those guys.
A lot. How could they not be?
Both
How could he especially
well,
not
and,
be?
Well, and Chase's quarterback, who's basically said, my window will never cease to be open.
And not to mention, like, if Jamal Williams puts together a few more 17 TD seasons, hey. We might have had 3 Hall of Famers on this show.
Look at us.
Yeah, it's look at us. Is there a Hall of Fame for podcasting?
I think it's too young a field, but certainly nominate us if you can.
If you could. Have we gotten any feedback from the fans on the Hollywood Star? Anybody putting together any grassroots? Oh, he's just shaking his head. Somberly.
I saw some people that were sort of turned off by the entire concept that we would pitch that for ourselves, and I immediately blocked them.
We do have to
well,
have
they're
concerns.
Certainly
we're,
not going to like the part.
We're talking about our higher stage and everything. We are at risk of losing touch with the common man
Sessler
rankings.
Opens the show at with risk. Talking about the size of his enormous suite. It's like, what are we doing,
I'm
Mark?
What I'm trying to do is be, you know, real and absolutely, you know, clear-faced on where we are with things. You know,
it is cute, though, like, yes, the room's bigger, but it is cute that you took a photo of the room and sent it to us. Like, holy guacamole.
So I don't expect it. I thought it was going to be just a regular little tiny room. I thought it was a mistake because I ordered dinner and the guy came in and he's like, this room's huge. I'm like, I know. He's like, who are you? I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing here.
How much were you hoping for Dan and I to respond? Our rooms aren't that big.
What?
Well, I think I sent it for a reason. And then, you know, I wanted to know what was going on. Let's be real.
Our rooms are way bigger than Mark's. We just haven't told him yet.
No, they're not.
Here comes Arthur Blank, owner of the Falcons.
It's popping here. I don't know what it is, but Phoenix has had, I feel
it's
like,
a little juice.
Bigger names, and everything's a little more juicy for a Wednesday of Super Bowl week.
It might be a couple years post-pandemic, and now Super Bowl's starting to get its vibe back a little bit.
I think that's right.
All right, anyway, that's it. Enough. Why are we still here? We got more big-time shows coming up. Our Super Bowl preview with Chris Mad Dog Russo on Thursday. Another big-time show with special guests Friday. Then, of course, the Super Bowl recap Sunday night. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Brakes? We can save you 15% on that. We have OE quality Duralast brake pads and rotors in stock, ready for pickup or delivery. We also have calipers, brake fluid, tools, and anything else you'll need to do the job right. When you get Duralast pads and rotors together, you'll save 15%. It's just part of what makes us America's number one brakes destination.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.